Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Carly Ennis, welcome to my Critter Shed.
Your critter shed's a little bit bigger than mine.
It's very slightly bigger.
Slightly bigger.
So what we're going to do is I'll bring you inside first.
Brilliant.
And then we will have a chat and then we'll head out.
Yeah. We better explain that your critter shed is actually...
I was going to leave that for the great reveal.
Oh, fair enough. I'll keep your mouth shut. Pretend you didn't hear that. Hello, Ted. Now, will I pop this on? No, not my hand, please, pal. Look at me, nervous around a cat.
No, what are you doing maybe nervous around a cat? That's ridiculous.
It's furry. I don't do furry animals.
First of all, Carly, you're very welcome to my critter shed.
Yes.
Which is ever so slightly different to your one.
Slightly bigger, yeah.
Slightly bigger. And no, you're going to hang on to them.
Okay.
That's your secret weapon. And that's a bag full of treats for our special guest today.
So yes.
Normally we have lots of different people in our shed, right? And today we have a very special person called Ted. And how would you describe Ted?
Ted is about a foot and a half long from head to tail. He's black and white. He's profusely shedding his fur all over me.
Yep.
And if I was to hazard a guess, I would say he's a house cat.
Oh my God, look at you. Powers of perception. Powers of perception. Ted and I have been together 4 years. We met in the Phoenix Park. Ted was 4 months old. He was stuck in a tree. As you can see, he's very friendly.
Yeah.
He's very dog-like. And the reason I invited you here to meet Ted was because I've been wanting to talk about something special for ages, and it's about house cats.
Yes.
And there's two things I want to talk about. And one is how amazing they are and how well adapted they are to what they do. And then I want to talk about the particular lifestyle that Ted and I have together, which is quite unusual.
Okay.
So if you would just call Ted over here, he's going to wrap the bag. Come on, Teddy-o. Come on back up, say hello to... Uncle Carly.
Hello.
The first thing you notice about Ted is his lovely whiskers, right?
Yeah.
So whiskers are actually really amazing adaptations and they help him to survive in all sorts of different places. So whiskers are called vibrissae, which means tactile hairs. And essentially they're made of the same material as hairs are, regular hairs. So that's keratin. But they're really different to normal hairs because they're thicker, as you can see. Come here, Teddy-o. Come here to me. I'll just put them up on my lap there. So if you feel his whiskers there...
Yeah, I can feel
you feel how springy.
How springy
they are, right?
Yeah.
And you'll also notice where he has them. So he has them in little lines along his cheeks.
Yeah.
And then under his little chinny chin, his little white chin there.
Okay.
And he has a few just above his eyebrows, or just above his eyes rather. And also, I'm just lifting up his little white paw. And he has them on the back of his paw, just sort of at his wrist.
Oh, I never knew they had whiskers under their paw. That's amazing.
So these vibrissae are really amazing. And they're called tactile hairs because that's exactly what they do. They help a cat sense his environment. So the vibrissae are rooted much deeper in the skin than normal hair is. And where they're rooted, the whisker is surrounded by lots of blood vessels and extra nerve endings. And the blood vessels, scientists believe, amplify any sort of vibration that is picked up by the whisker. So if the whisker brushes against something or feels the breeze or moves in any way, the cat is picking up all sorts of information about the environment.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. So cats use whiskers for lots of different things. They can sense where they're going. They can sense if they can pass through a space. So as they're passing through an area, they're feeling their whiskers moving or not, and that's sending information about the environment back to them. It's telling them how wide a space is, if they'll fit or not. And it also helps them to hunt, because when A cat is hunting and finds its prey. It can't actually see anything clearly that's closer than 30 centimetres. So if you imagine Ted running after a mouse or a bird or something, so he'll grab that animal and then brings it to his mouth. He can use his whiskers then to actually work out where the animal is in his paws.
The final
and
moment.
Actually, yeah, give that final bite, yeah. And then, of course, the whiskers at the back of his leg, his front legs, are also telling him about where he's moving. Is he moving in long grass? The space, is it big enough? All that sort of stuff. So they're really cool.
I read it recently as well that they found out the whiskers are directly connected to the brain in the fact that it helps them map out areas, gives them a mental map of areas. Because they put a cat, a fairly young kitten, in a maze, blacked out, completely pitch dark.
Yeah.
And the cat was still able to figure out how to get through the maze it sussed it out once.
That's amazing.
Very cool.
So they have all these incredible adaptations. And of course, other animals have whiskers as well, like you have seals and sea lions, and they use it for the same thing. They use it to sense what's going on in their environment. And sometimes the whiskers are so sensitive, they can actually feel the breeze, they can feel the breeze changing direction. Or even in seals, they reckon that they can actually almost feel the fish breathing.
That's amazing.
So they're taking water into their gills. Like, it's absolutely
mind-boggling. You never think of that, really.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And people also wonder why we don't have whiskers, because most primates...
I have.
Not quite.
But I can shave them off. I know what you mean. Yeah,
most primates, well, a lot of mammals and a lot of primates would have whiskers, but of course we don't have them because maybe we did have them at some point.
Yeah.
And then we lost them in our evolutionary timeline at some point because we probably didn't need them. And scientists have discovered too that the part of the brain that used to be associated with feeling and decoding information from whiskers is now in humans used to decode the tips of our fingers. So where they use the same brain area for the whiskers, we would now sort of focus on our
touch.
On our touch.
Well, that's a good kind of an analogy for a whisker then. It's a kind of a touch sensory thing.
And if you look how wide they are in relation to Ted's.
Yeah, you can see right across his big backside.
Yeah, exactly where it's going, yeah.
Brilliant. How smart are cats? Now, I've heard that their cerebral cortex is 3 times more developed than dogs.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Would you say that when you watch them?
Oh yeah, they're smart. I mean, it's like anyone. So we have 3 cats. We have Ted, Ziggy and Daisy, and they're all rescues. So they all have completely different personalities and they all have different IQs.
Yes.
The smartest one is the female, goes without saying.
Okay.
The one who's not so smart is the one who's outside the door trying to get in because he hasn't been fed yet. That's little Ziggy. He's very scared. And then Ted is more brawn than brains. And that goes for any population, right? You're going to have a range
of
adaptations and intelligence and different types of intelligence. And that's sort of an insurance policy. So if something happens in the environment, there's bound to be some members of a population that have a particular adaptation.
Yeah.
That will help them to survive.
The bigger dopey ones might survive, or the smarter ones might.
I just get excited when I look at them because they're so perfectly adapted. And by the way, their eyes are amazing as well. So they can see in pitch black, but they can see in about 1/6 of the amount of light that we can. So they're
6 times more powerful. That's
exactly, yeah.
That's a refractive membrane in the back of the eye.
That's right, yeah.
So it just doubles up the amount of light.
Exactly.
In.
So you have sort of mirrors in the back of the eye.
It's
and
incredible.
as the light is passing in, there's only a tiny amount of light passing in, it'll bounce off the mirrors back onto the receptors so that it's making the most of that tiny amount of light that's passing into it. So we don't have that. That's the mirror that you see, you know, when you shine
light.
That's that mirror.
Yeah, you see that flash.
Yeah.
That nocturnal animal buzz.
Yeah, it's amazing. And as you look at Ted there now, so he's lying there sort of waiting for his dinner, but looking at the door, wondering, you know, is there anyone outside?
Yeah.
And if you look at his paws, so I have to admit, I have a bit of a fetish for animal
paws.
Animal feet and paws and hooves and all that sort of thing. They're just, like, every animal has, or every species has such an interesting way of getting around and using their feet or paws or whatever it is they have, or fins to get around. So cats are wonderful because, as we all know, cats have claws.
Retractable claws.
Exactly. Mm. And that's what makes them really special, because they're retractable. So if you want to sneak up on something and catch it, it doesn't make sense to have claws that are out all the time because you'll
clinking
hear them
off the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So over millennia of evolution, cats evolved to have retractable claws. That gives them a real advantage. So when they're sneaking up on their prey, they can retract them. They're really quiet. And then when they pounce, boom, those claws come out and that is it. You're toast.
That's a classic sign of an ambush predator as well. And even the way their eyes are slit, that's very unique to cats because mammals have the circular eyes. The big cats.
Oh, wow.
But it's the smaller cat species, out of the 36 cat species, I think it's the smaller ones.
Right.
They have those slits.
Yeah.
And it's to be able to focus on animals at ground level.
Oh, amazing.
When you're ambushing, you're just waiting for that thing to come across you and bang.
They're also stealth predators, so they will
very much so, they will
sneak up behind and ambush them from behind.
As I know all too well.
What happened to you today with cats?
We'll get to that at the end of the conversation. let's talk about the niceness of cats.
Yeah, okay.
And then we get into
and then we dovetail into something.
Yeah. Close your ears, Teddy.
So Ted, as you can see, Ted's just lying there. He's beautiful and he's furry and he's black and white, but in the wild at some point in his evolution he would have been a colour like our tabby cat. Daisy, she's got these beautiful stripes
and she,
that just
breaks. She's the closest to it. So the wild cat species from around the Middle Eastern area.
Yeah.
Our cats evolved from them because they started hanging around us because of grain.
Oh, right.
What do we have with the grain? Stores? Mice. So the cats moved in and they started hanging around and then it became a little bit more familiar.
Yeah.
And then, of course, kittens are... set off that cute response in our brains because the big eyes, the small mouth.
We just want to nurture them.
Yeah. What do they look like? Babies.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the combination of them being such good hunters and them looking like babies when they're very young was the perfect pet for us.
And that's interesting what you say about the babies thing because cats still have that. Adult cats still have that. So when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I see is three cats going absolutely insane for food. Or in fact, I don't even have to get up to see that there are three cats on top of me, meowing into my face, begging me to feed them. And that meow has a cry in it that is similar to the cry of a human baby. And that is tapping into one of your deepest and oldest nurture instincts. And when you hear it, you are putting in their hands because all you want to do is nurture them. And that's how they've sort of...
They're not manipulating
us, but it's one of these things where at some point having that cry was advantageous to a cat. The genes got passed on and that's just
the way
it is.
They're kind of fortunate in the way they had evolved anyway that
come on, Ted.
Through our agricultural habits that they became kind of useful.
Yeah, beautiful. He's taking a treat off me. Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at those claws. Ew.
He's so big.
He's huge, isn't he? When did you see him last? Christmas, was it?
It was Christmas, yeah, I think so.
Was he not that big?
And I think I was seeing 3 years again I was leaving this place because I had a few beers. But yeah,
he's now sweet, isn't he? Look at him, he's a real charismatic little dude.
The thing about cats as well, I suppose, is, and you can probably answer me this, but they're much more in, if they don't want to talk to you, they won't be arsed. They'll just go off and leave you alone.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's a more honest relationship. As opposed to like the poor dogs who just want to be loved all the time and you could beat the shit out of a dog and it would still love you.
Yeah, still have that.
I don't think you'd...
And that's the difference in having an animal that's part of a pack and they depend on the pack.
That's very true.
For survival. Whereas these guys, they don't need a pack to survive.
No, they're very much independent.
Yeah, so they can hunt by themselves and whatever.
Although, in Japan...
Go on.
There's an island.
Yeah.
Where they had problems with mice eating all the fishermen's nets. Mm-hmm. So they introduced cats. And the cats ate all the mice, but the cats kept breeding and breeding and breeding.
God.
And now the island's actually called Oshima Island, but it's actually referred to as Cat Island now.
Oh my God.
Cats outnumber humans 6 to 1.
No.
And what's really interesting is the cats as solitary animals, inverted commas, apart from lions, most biologists...
See that? He's looking down at the ground now for a treat that's dropped.
And
he can't see it.
That's
not moving.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
so
he figured it out.
As long
with
as it's moving
sniffing.
Like that,
yeah.
and it's through in there, and as long as
that's
it's moving,
amazing.
You can see it. Yeah, sorry.
No. So biologists would always consider cats like this little fella here. He's very rubbable.
Isn't
to
he
be
beautiful?
Social
so
creatures.
Look at him, he's leaning.
To be social creatures, but in this island, in Cat Island in Japan, there's so many of them that they've actually started to go around in packs.
Oh, really?
And they've started a trait that's only been seen in lions, where a lactating female will also raise other cats, babies in the group. Normally that would not happen.
Yeah.
So they're actually changing their behaviour and they can be quite social when there's enough food to support them, the numbers, you know.
That's amazing adaptation.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Here, give them another treat, go on.
That's mad that you can't see it right in front of his
yeah,
face.
Yeah, yeah. So as soon as it stops, boom, yeah. You can't see it. But if that moves,
that's... So the poor eyesight, well, not as good.
No, it's beyond, if it's anything closer than 30 centimetres, they can't focus on it.
Right.
But beyond that, they can see very clearly.
And their black and white vision as well, or poor colour.
I think they see differently, but they see differently. I don't think that they're colourblind.
Yeah.
I think they just see differently,
yeah.
Different shades, different parts of the spectrum than we would.
Yeah.
Look how he's such a sweetheart. Isn't he? He's really.
I know
affectionate.
They have super hearing.
Yeah.
They have that.
Especially when it comes to bags of treats.
Yeah.
He can be at the other end of the house, and I swear to God, I will really quietly take a bag of treats out of the drawer, and boom, within 5 seconds, he's there. Look at him, he's
That's
leaning
brilliant.
Against.
And his ancestors would have used that to hear the little squeaks of mice.
Right, yeah.
And those low frequency sounds are very hard to pinpoint, but of course, he has these rotatable ears that he can kind of focus in.
If you look at his ears, the ear flaps are really big and
huge.
There's lots of folds inside them. So that means those ears make the most of that sound signal that's coming in, gets bounced around and collected.
Brilliant.
So it's almost like, you know the way when you see people with these big dishes and microphones in
them
that are picking up signals? It's sort of amplifying
the
microphone.
In the spy movies when they're listening
exactly,
to people chew glass.
Exactly, the parabolas. Look at him there, he's a sweetheart. You see how he's lying on the ground there now and he's just...
Playing.
He's needing. Kittens, when they're young, they need their mothers to get milk, and it's sort of a comfort. Adult cats have continued that into adulthood, so it's one of these.
So that's when they get into a bed, they kind of rub it and poke
at
it.
I love you.
Oh, yeah,
daddy.
That's mad.
I know, it's mad. It makes them look so cute. And
there's
huge.
Going to be an enormous amount of baby talk in this episode. Hope we do boo.
Oh, I can't help myself.
I know, I understand.
Look, and he's so beautiful.
Look, it makes more sense that you do baby talk to a cat than me doing it to a fucking scorpion or something.
Or a little snake. Oh, yeah, so they're amazing creatures. So perfectly adapted. And they're brilliant predators. And they're successful predators.
Yeah, they're one of the most successful
in the
world.
Yeah, and that's why... there's something that I do with these cats that a lot of people might think is cruel, but for me, I feel it as part of my responsibility as somebody who lives with cats.
Yes.
And I keep them indoors.
Yay!
The only time that these cats go outdoors is with me, under supervision, into our little courtyard or our little back garden, or Ted, being Ted, goes out in the leash.
And this is like, I suppose people, because we normally talk about very weird animals, well, we kind of talk about everything.
But part
of the reason we wanted to talk about cats is because we're both at heart conservationists and trying to be environmentally conscious. And I think the problem with cats can't be ignored, and the impact they've had in nature and on our natural world has been tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the cat's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
It's us.
Yeah.
The Romans and the Egyptians gave them to the Romans, and the Romans brought them all around the world with them, and then, you know, we've brought them all over to every corner of the earth.
Where they never should have been. They never
exactly.
should have been. So there's cats in places where they're not native to, which means that the wildlife that grows, that develops around them or has developed in those places, never developed those skills or the adaptations to actually...
Avoid them,
Avoid them and avoid being killed and then survive themselves. So I don't want Ted to be killing animals, or the other two cats that I have, Daisy or Ziggy, I don't want them to be killing wildlife, because we have so few, you know, wild animals left outside.
Particularly in places where cats would be around the most, which would be urban areas. Urban wildlife is struggling.
Yeah, it
really
is.
Struggling.
And
having cats wander free at night is irresponsible.
It's completely irresponsible. It's irresponsible for the cat as well, because they can suffer and die.
Here's one for you. Cats kept indoors live 2 to 5 years longer on average than cats that are wandering.
Do you hear that, Ted?
By a combination of accidents, as you were saying, and simply just catching diseases and getting into fights and scrubs and stuff like that. So there's another reason, if you genuinely love your cat,
that
you shouldn't be letting it out at night.
And Ted, like, every cat has a different personality, the same way your personality is different to mine. And Ted is the type of guy, he would follow anybody home. He has no road sense.
Yes,
he'll
okay.
run under anything. He wouldn't last 5 minutes outside.
And here's another thing with cat personalities and different animals' personalities. I have friends who I kind of have suggested that they keep their cats indoors. And the first thing that they'll say is, my Moggy
doesn't kill
anything. Now, that may be very well true. Probably isn't.
It's probably not true.
Probably not true, but it may very well be true. But your Moggy still has a chance of spreading diseases that night if animals aren't able to cope with, or even, you know, just scrubbing, not even killing, but scrubbing an animal, because cats have bacteria in their claws that is very infectious, and they're it's a non-native animal. Yeah. It's to me, because it's so accepted, it's very hard to describe to people, but to me, you might as well have a monitor lizard walking around in the field.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre to me that people don't cop on to it more.
So there's been a bit of research done. People have put cameras and monitors and stuff on,
yes,
on cats.
Yes, I'm very fascinated by
that. And they've gone around. So they've done studies like this in places like America and the UK and Australia. We haven't done anything like that here in Ireland. I think we're just unwilling to have this conversation yet here in Ireland.
And yeah.
I think it's time we had it.
The big alarm bell country is Australia.
Yeah.
So they've lost 20 species alone.
Jesus.
And there's 130 something on the extinction list. And people keep going, well, it's habitat fragmentation and destruction in urban. It's not, because these are desert animals in the middle of nowhere where there's nobody around that are going extinct. And it's purely down to cats.
And these are animals that never evolved or co-evolved with cats
exactly.
or anything
and
like
And they're that. All the unique endemic species of marsupials that Australia has. And they're disappearing like wildfire. 97.something% of the country in Australia is covered in cats.
Oh my God.
Apart from a few islands offshore.
Yeah.
And some places they've wiped them out.
Yeah. So we're not.
Hit me with some figures here,
Claire. Okay. Here's some scary stuff. We're talking about Australia. In just one day, Australia's cats kill around 1.3 million birds.
Holy shit.
1.8 million reptiles and over 3.1 million mammals. That's in one single day. There's another mammal behind you who'd like something. You got the treats? Or have
I don't.
They're in there. They're beside you.
Oh, there you go.
So here's some. If you bring Ted back up onto the couch beside you. Come on, Ted.
Yeah, come on up here, Ted. That is unbelievable
it's
numbers.
It's shocker, isn't it? Yeah. He does look really cute. If you lean in, you'll get a little furry headbutt.
Oh, very nice.
He's a little sweetheart. Look at him. He's gorgeous.
Your kind is responsible for the destruction of the natural world, but you're so cute.
You're so gorgeous. Your little pink nose.
But, yeah, that's crazy.
So 1.3 million birds every day, 1.8 million reptiles every day, and over 3.1 million mammals every single
day. It's
insane
in figures. Insane.
It's insane.
And so that's just one country.
That's just one country. Now we go to the US, where they've done a lot of surveys.
Yes.
Again, it's impossible to get absolute figures, but it's a ballpark figure and it's something to start on. In the US, cats kill 4 billion wildlife animals every year. 4 billion.
Billion.
That is a shocker. So then we move to the UK, which is a smaller island. The UK, cats kill 55 million birds. 55 million birds every single year. And they do reckon that one in three cats does kill. But I don't know. I think most cats will kill. They don't always bring their prey home.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not killing because they're hungry. They're killing because of their instinct. They can't help
exactly.
it. And we're not blaming them. They're not to blame for any of that.
So today, I was sitting out in my back garden, pottering around. And I decided to take the weight off my feet. And I sat down in my chair. And I have, obviously, you've seen the ponds.
Yep.
And I love watching the birds come down and have their baths, the frogs and everything hopping around. I was sitting there for about half an hour and there was a couple of starlings down having a bath in the shallow end. And out of nowhere, like a little tiger, came a cat with no tail. I think it's a Manx cat they're called. But a cat with no tail, out of the bush, boom, hit the starling and off with it, up the tree, gone.
Oh, shit.
Now, that's the second time in 2 weeks that's happened.
Shit. And that's future generations of starlings that will never appear.
And I'm also finding frogs' legs around my pond.
Shit.
So now this cat has decided to take up residence. Now, a Manx cat will be a rarer breed.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a stray.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to figure out who owns the cat and politely ask them to keep it out of my garden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, I was so pissed off today.
Yeah.
So pissed off because, you know, we're always promoting making space for wildlife in urban areas and all that sort of stuff. But what use is it if you're going to have an apex predator hanging around the backyard?
An apex predator, exactly. Somebody at the top of the food chain.
That doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Does not belong there. Yeah. Foxes and badgers, yes. Yeah. They belong in the country.
Yeah, and that regulates itself.
But these don't belong there. And also, completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's completely unnecessary predation. Yeah. The cats aren't hungry, as you said. That board will be found politely put on Mrs. O'Reilly's doorstep tonight, and she'll go and have a laugh about it.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And Moggy little Tiddles brought me back a present.
Exactly.
Something like 40% of prey items are left to rot.
It's
such a waste.
It's a waste.
It's a shocker.
And here's another thing. I mean, like, some really good pals of mine who are very kind and lovely people will feed stray cats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a massive mistake. If you are a part of, or if you want to help the natural world, if you're going to feed stray cats, you're giving them the energy and the protein to create more stray cats.
I know.
And they're going to need food, and they're going to kill more wildlife. So at the very least, if you're going to feed stray cats,
have them captured
and neutered.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just going to keep perpetuating this. And we'll have a country with lots of trees. Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lots of grass, lots of cats, and nothing else, eventually.
And we'll all have seen stray cats in lots of different places.
In the most bizarre places.
And they're also sick.
Yes.
It breaks your heart. They're suffering, they're sick. Now, as you know me, I don't eat any animal products. I care about the welfare of individual animals. Mm-hmm. I care about the welfare of groups of animals and species. I am not condoning any mistreatment of cats. I'm not condoning any of that.
And neither am I.
But what I'm saying is, these are predators. They're beautiful animals. They can be part of our lives in a way that is just so lovely. I mean, I adore my tree cats. In case you haven't gotten that already,
I adore my tree cats. Yeah.
And look where he is now. He was on the couch beside you. Now he's lying on the ground. He's sort of thinking, okay, at some point somebody will feckin' well feed me. And I've made a space for him. That's good. So cats sleep up to 18 hours a day. They're really good at conserving energy. And I'm waging a war on words like lazy or sneaky or whatever, because they're just words that humans fill up with all sorts of crap baggage. So they're not lazy. They're very good at conserving energy. If you're a cat, whatever size of cat you happen to be, like a tiger, a lion or a domestic cat, if you're living in the wild, you don't know when your next dinner is going to come by.
So you've
got to take care of the energy that you have and save it so that you have enough energy to sprint and catch and all that sort of stuff. So they're very conservative. They're very careful with their energy.
That's why they eat, like, when they get stuck into wildebeest.
Exactly.
I've seen some cool cats in Africa when I was
really?
On.
Really? What
did
you see?
Oh, my God. I saw a leopard hunting.
Oh, wow.
In the process of hunting. I saw a team of tree brothers, cheetahs, taking down and killing a wildebeest, which was insane.
Oh, my God.
And very, very lucky to see that. Of course, saw lions, which were cool. They were doing a lot of banging. The males had taken a couple of females offside. Apparently this is what they do. And they mate for like a whole day.
Yeah.
And she'll hassle him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant, because that never happens to me.
You know why it doesn't happen to you? Because they have barbs on their penis.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But what else was it I saw as well? Oh, yeah. A serval.
What's that? Oh, really?
It's
what's
an African, small African cat, but it's like a cat that can jump 5 times its own height. And it's specialised in predating on ground nesting boards.
Oh, wow.
So when the boards are taken off, it's in position, jumps up, claws him out of the air, grabs him. That was super rare to see. So I was really, really chuffed with that.
That's amazing.
As well. Do you know, pound for pound, by the way, speaking of the African cats, pound for pound, house cats are the strongest cats.
Really?
Of all. Strongest, yeah.
Really?
They are.
Aww.
That's really, like,
that's
mad to think. Like, the more I was reading about them coming up to this episode, obviously, I wanted to get some facts in. But I never really thought about why they're so successful and why there's 36 separate species and they basically had colonised the world, well, apart from Australia and that, but, like, the actual family of cats, the felines, had been so successful.
Yeah. They are extraordinary animals.
From a small cat that evolved in Southeast Asia about 10 million years ago, they've spread all over.
Yeah.
So,
and when it comes to, like, admiring the natural world, like, you really don't have to go outside your own door to do it, you know? I mean, here we are with this amazing predator in front of us and, you know, we're just admiring it. And, like, having lived with cats now for 7 years as an adult, I've just learned so much about them. And I have such incredible admiration for them and how they navigate the world. And so I've just learned.
Does he ever get a whiff of the tigers and the lions next door to him and go, holy shit, my cousin Larry's been on the Dukes?
We'll come to that later because people don't know where we are yet.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I keep giving it away. Pretend you don't. We can go again.
Yeah, so yeah, I was down in the Burren last year and I know they have a lot of ground nesting birds down there and I was just absolutely horrified and sick to my stomach and I saw a black cat wandering through the Burren and easy prey. The birds are easy prey and, you know, well, that cat should be kept indoors.
Especially like the stuff that me and Rob would be looking at, our frogs and newts and our lizards, our native lizards, and they get nailed. They get wiped out by cats. There was a colony of terns recently. I sent you that paper.
Oh, right.
That people were studying for years and it's been set up and really well protected. Yeah. And in one night, a cat went in and wiped out the entire colony.
Oh, God.
The entire colony on a beach.
Yeah.
You know, so, and again, there's a cat that could have been indoors.
Could have been indoors.
Curled up in front of the fire. Yeah. Perfectly happy.
I mean, you can see how content he is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, cats, people say to me, is it not unnatural to keep cats inside? Is it not cruel? Ted's been inside since he was a kitten. Daisy has been inside since she was 2 days old. Ziggy is terrified of the outside world. He's quite happy to be inside. And they have natural instincts to do things and we make sure that we sort of satisfy those instincts. So they want to chase stuff. So we play with them. They play with each other. They chase each other.
Yes.
They sleep 18 hours a day. So the other 6 hours they're mooching around.
Enrichment, that's what they call
enrichment,
it.
Enrichment, exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if he's chasing a bird or chasing a ball.
He doesn't care. He's having a bit of fun.
He's chasing. And they chase each other. They mess around. Now, I wouldn't advocate keeping a single cat by itself indoors because they do actually need company. I know people think they're quite solitary and antisocial, but they're not. They do like company.
Okay.
So if you're keeping cats indoors, definitely keep two.
And if you're worried about space and not having enough space for a cat, don't get a cat.
Yeah, exactly. That's always a thing with any pet.
Exactly.
If you don't have the space to give it the proper life that it needs, that it wants.
Plus, there's a lot of stuff as well, if you do have the space and you get your cat, there's a lot of stuff you can get now, like these climbing frames
climb
and all sorts of stuff.
Shelves around the room where they can use them as sort of, walking space and boardwalks.
And I saw a thing called a cattery. I never heard of them before.
What's that?
But a lot of people, conscious people in the States, are starting to build very much like a board enclosure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like they will have a cat flap in the wall where they can go out into the elements, run around, and it's basically like a big board cage attached to the house outside.
That's what my sister has. She lives in Sydney and she has...
It's a really good idea.
About six cats.
It's a really good idea.
They're contained.
And you can keep them safe from the elements and getting whacked out by cars.
And they can still enjoy
the
outside.
Still enjoy
these guys go outside with me. They sit in our little courtyard
and
our little garden and... We will be moving house at some point and we're going to have a garden, but that will be cat proof, so they won't be able to get out.
Brilliant.
And they'll be there only under our supervision, so they're not actually killing. Now, there's a thing, it will be difficult, say, to bring a 5-year-old cat that has been an outdoor cat and make it an indoor cat.
Yes, I was about to ask you that.
But you can still mitigate. So The cat's hunting times are dusk and dawn. So that's the time when you'll hear them running around the house like absolute lunatics. Keep them in from dusk till dawn.
Feed them at that time or something like that. That's
just keep
brilliant.
Them in and let them out at 8 o'clock in the morning. Bring them out at 5. Bring them in at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And keep them in. And that
leash training your cat is a good way of getting them exercise as well if you're worried.
Teddy
and they do take to it.
They do. Ted and I go for a walk.
Yeah, I never knew that again. Just researching for
it. I'm going to put a video of me and Ted going for a walk. Ted and I...
We'll put it up on our little...
Ted and I make...
Social media.
So, make science videos.
I saw some of them.
He is my presenter.
Cohort.
And I'm his media bitch. So,
there you go.
We put up some of those videos with Ted on the leash. Because that's what we do. We go for a walk and he... Well, when I say for a walk, we go for a wander. There's a lot of standing and staring into bushes. That's what cats do.
Smelling.
But that's what he wants. Yeah. I go where he wants. It's a very small area that we cover. We do stand in front of a lot of bushes and just stare. And he has chased squirrels up a tree. And then that's fine because I know he won't get the squirrel.
Yeah.
And he climbs trees and I stand there underneath,
with
an extendable
leash
going straight up. And people walk by and they look up and they expect to see a Jack Russell or something.
Up a tree. Brilliant.
So look how happy he is there. I mean,
I have to say, they're quite content. And with any cat I've seen that's been kept indoors for a sleep, no difference in their behaviour.
No.
Contentment.
No.
I think, without, like, you know, we don't want to be preachy and telling people what to do.
Yeah.
But we always say, it's the same as all the animals we talk about on the Critter Shed. Do your homework. Be responsible.
Absolutely.
And make sure that whatever you're keeping isn't going to be affecting other wild animals.
Because,
you know, you cannot claim to be an animal lover because you have a nice cat and he's running around killing all the songbirds in the neighbourhood.
Like,
you know, it's hypocritical.
It is.
So there you go.
Teddy-o.
Very interesting conversation, though.
And once again, I have to reiterate, I adore my cats and I do not condone animal cruelty.
No.
But I do think we need to think about how we keep our cats. And Ted has the right to a proper life. And the wildlife, the wild birds and reptiles and amphibians also have the right to a good life and they have a right to live.
Yes.
So I feel I'm mitigating the damage that he does and I'm still giving him the best
life
I can.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for coming or for inviting me in, little cat.
He's nothing little about him. He's over 6 kilos. He's a big dude.
He's a monster.
He's a monster. Now, I was hoping I could show you the rest of my Critter Shed.
Yeah, would you mind? Mm-hmm. Have you got any interesting animals that I can see?
One or two.
I'm very excited about this. Okay.
So before we head outside, I just want to explain something to you all. That my Critter Shed is not a place that I own, but it's simply the words I use to describe the place that I live. And in fairness, it's a fairly unusual address. So, Collie, we're in my Critter Shed.
Yes.
Which we can now reveal to be...
Dublin Zoo.
It is, yeah. And we're standing outside the house of... I don't know, the house of the animal that just gives me the shivers. And we're going to hop inside and we're going to have to be really quiet when we get in and we see how long it takes for people to guess where we are. And we will be whispering when we get inside.
Yeah, I think people hopefully will guess very quickly. I'm so nervous.
Okay.
I'm shaking. But yeah, we're like good nervous. Good nervous.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So because we didn't want to speak too loudly inside the house, I'm going to explain to you now what we're seeing. So we've just walked in. There's a large barrier in front of us and a group of about 11 Asian elephants of all ages, from the matriarch to the youngest baby. They've just come towards us to have a look at us and see what's going on. In front of us right now, there are lots of trunks coming through the barrier because they want to smell us. And all that beautiful sound that you're hearing is the elephants sniffing. They want to smell us. They want to know who we are. Really curious. And we get to look them in the eye. And it's just astounding. When you look in their eyes, there's an absolute presence there, isn't
there? Of course. Big time.
They're huge.
aren't you drunk? Coming out through the bars.
Yes.
Massive.
You just can't believe the actual size of them.
Yeah. And the smell is amazing.
It smells great, actually.
It's great to see them so happy. Look how many they're all gathered here.
Look
now.
At this.
All different ages.
Yeah.
Their skin is really, really sensitive.
Yeah.
It looks really rough, but it's not. Very sensitive.
It's covered in hair.
So there's two trunks right in front of us.
Yeah.
One really small, one really big one.
One ginormous, big headed. Oh my god, it's so cool to see them so happy. No head shakes, no weird shit.
The floor of the elephant house is made up of a 2 meter layer of sand that's really soft on their feet. And the keepers build up mounds of sand so that the elephants can sleep up against them. Because, contrary to what people used to believe, elephants do lie down to sleep. Come here to me. We just walked out of the elephant house.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was surreal. One of those times where I'm just kind of like, what the feck am I? I call them my Forrest Gump moments, where I'm just looking around going, how did I end up here? But yeah, really cool.
Was there anything surprising about it?
The noise, that kind of resonance coming up through me. And then the hair on the body, the amount of it right down the trunk. For some reason, you just think in your head they're going to be smooth, little wrinkles, but they're not. And then the red hair.
Yeah, a little gingers.
Yeah. God, I mean, and just, you know what it was as well? It was emotional. Now, I'm probably going to have to do some push-ups and sit-ups now to regain my manliness. But yeah, nearly brought a tear to the glass eye there. Because, I don't know, it's nice to see them happy. And they really are happy out in there.
Yeah. But what, like... For me, when you look at them and you look in their eyes, Jesus, you're connecting with something. Like,
even the little cheeky,
but
there was a cheeky guy down there. I don't know if we picked it up on the audio, but there's a guy kicking us with sand, as much as say, what the fuck are you doing here? And
they're messers.
They're messers, yeah. And like proper personality. You could see who was a kid, who was a teenager, who the matriarchs were, who were like not having any of that shit. And now we're walking around Dublin Zoo after hours. And that sounds like a really dodgy movie, Dublin Zoo After Hours.
I want to show you another favourite
cool
animal of mine. And it ties in with what we were talking about earlier. It ties in with Ted. So just prepare yourselves. We're just coming up to a viewing shelter. We're walking around. There's windows. And in front of us...
there is a giant tiger. Oh,
that
hello.
is a beautiful female Amur tiger.
See that.
The Amur tigers used to be called Siberian tigers, but because their territory, they've shrunk into a territory known as Amur. They call them Amur tigers now. So the Amur male tiger is the biggest cat on the planet. So this cat weighs about 150, 200 kilos. Her paws, beautiful paws, are the size of dinner plates. And look at this. Cub is a baby. So, we're standing in front of a mirror. We're standing in front of a window, which is glass window, floor to ceiling. And this cub has just come bounding down on us. Now, it's like a kitten, but it's like the kitten that's the size of two Alsatian dogs.
Yeah.
So if you think back to the conversation we had about Ted and all the adaptations that he has, these cats have the same thing going on. The claws, the beautiful, look at the whiskers.
Wow.
The teeth, the retractable claws. So these right in front of us. And
oh
this
my
is most
God, hi, pal.
Beautiful
How
cat.
How are you?
We are eye to eye with this cub who is huge and curious and beautiful. But also look at the back of the ears. There's white spots on the back of the ears. Yeah. And they use that for communication as well.
Look at the size of them. And their paws are so big. Is that Mama over there?
That's Mama.
Wow. I think I see Papa up there. Oh my good Lord.
What he's doing now is what our cats do at home. He's scent marking. So he's passing by rocks and trees and all lots of things in his habitat. And he's moving up again. So he's got scent glands in various parts of his body.
And
he's rubbing himself and he's letting everyone know that this is his territory.
My God, he's massive.
Yeah.
He's humongous.
And there's only about 400 in the wild, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But there are hundreds of them in apartments and roadside zoos.
In the States.
In the States and in Russia.
Yeah.
And people have them on their couches.
Yeah.
Majesty on legs.
I think your critter sheds. Kicking my critter shed's ass. You've just been tagging along for the last year, Colm.
Waiting for this moment.
Yeah, Colm. Well done with your snails, you little pox. Oh my God, I can't believe that we're sitting here with two. I'm definitely going
to
get a tiger selfie. Yeah.
Totally. So we've just left our beautiful tiger cubs.
Oh man, that was awesome.
So we're looking at a natural body, well not natural, but we're looking at a moat.
Full of, can you see them bangs on the top of the water?
What?
That's a little tadpoles coming
really?
Up for air. Yeah, so you have you have frogs breeding in there.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's nice to see.
We're going to go left here. We're going to go left. So that screech in the background was a heron. And we're taking an underpass now to something else that's spectacular. Now, I want you to just slow down because you need to savour this. So we're getting close again up to another viewing shelter.
Look at this. It's the sea lions. This is like, oh my God, this is awesome.
That is a pup in the water. So we can we're in the underwater viewing area where you can see right under this beautiful saltwater habitat. And there's a pup. There are three pups.
It's salt water.
It's salt water, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And this in front of us now is a sea lion pup.
From this year?
From this year.
He's so cute.
I know. And look how big.
Like, is that his willy?
No, it's a tail.
Oh,
and that's how you can tell. There's another pup, look.
Oh, wow. Second the ears pup. And the tail.
That's it. And the flippers.
My mammal knowledge knows no bounds.
There's a second pup in front of us.
Oh,
look.
So sea lions have a little tiny tail.
Yeah. How you can tell the difference between seals and sea lions. Seals are more streamlined.
They're more highly evolved for water.
Exactly,
no,
yeah.
That's cool.
So if you look at the back end, the back flippers of these guys, they're like 2 feet together.
Yeah,
they're
as very opposed close to the big flipper.
Exactly, yeah.
Gotcha.
They also have a tail, which the seals don't have.
Yeah.
And they have ears.
It's cool though, isn't it? It's kind of like you're seeing the evolution in as it happens.
And look at the way they're playing those
it's
two
so good.
Oh, look, they're blowing bubbles. Look, they're blowing bubbles.
And
they're chasing them.
They're having the time of his life.
They are so playful. So there's three female adults and one male adult, and then the three pups. So
again,
each of the females had a pup this year. And look at them,
pretty.
They're amazing.
They're so cool.
And like every time I come down here, as soon as they know that somebody's here, they jump into the water and they start playing. And they did exactly what they were doing there. They blow bubbles and they tried to catch them.
Do you know what's great as well? Because the zoo closes at whatever, 6.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a little bit of time for quietness and there's not people gawking at them all the time. Well, apart from us, but we're sexy and that's different. And the animals are like, yes, that's those critter shed guys off the radios.
So the interesting thing is, these are California sea lions. And California sea lions all over the world, i.e. in California and in various zoos, they all give birth within the same couple of weeks. So they're all synchronized.
They're all synchronized no matter where they are on the planet.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So these guys gave birth in June. So on your right here is the new wolf habitat taking shape.
I remember we had a few drinks in your house for your birthday.
Yeah.
And I was leaving and staggering out the door.
The wolves all kicked off.
That's right.
And I shit myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never called an Uber so fast in my life.
It's that old part of your brain just goes, holy fuck.
Oh, I froze. And I knew it made no sense. And I just registered. I was like, but once they kicked off together, I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
So we're going to turn to the right. What we're looking at now is an island completely covered in flowers
and
plants.
Yeah, wildflowers as well.
And look at the amount of dancing flies here. Look at the amount of bugs around us.
Yeah, it's great.
Isn't it incredible?
You're doing your bit for biodiversity.
And there's fish in there. We're looking over a moat or part of the lake, actually.
Cool. Wow. Beautiful. There you go. You just have all the boxes ticked. Loads of different plants, yeah. Wildflowers.
It's really just a big version of your garden.
Yeah, it's a massive version of my garden. It really is.
There's water, there's greenery, there's animals.
Yeah, it's very, very true. I'm not feeling like inadequate at all. Goes home, cries for 4 hours. Do you just take a stroll around every so often yourself?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God.
I used to go running back when I had knees that worked.
Ah,
I used to go running.
I remember those days
and
myself.
I used to imagine there was no barriers or no windows or no... And I'd scare the shite out of myself. And I was out running one night and I was followed by a wolf.
Wow.
On the other side of the fence.
Oh, God.
It's a very long habitat.
Yeah, yeah.
And she followed me.
She followed you. I don't stop to appreciate mammals as much as I should. But right. I'm glad I hang around with people like you and, you know, other people that I know who are big mammal heads. And it kind of... You know, I get so focused. Even when we're in with the elephants, I was looking at the spiders. Yeah, it's nice to look at these animals and just take them in.
So how was that for your night?
That was a brilliant night.
It's just getting dark now, so we'll
wind it up.
We'll wind it up.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Glad you came to my critter shed.
Next week we'll go back to mine and we'll talk about snails.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.